and welcome to a bonus episode of the Big Green Politics podcast. I'm Julia Lagutz. Ahead of International Women's Day, we're celebrating women activists who have shown exceptional bravery and political creativity in protecting nature. The first woman we want to highlight is Kenyan ecologist Wangari Maathai.
We are part of nature, that we are not separate from it. When we destroy nature, we are in many ways undermining our own capacity to survive.
Wangari Maathai was born in rural Kenya in 1940. A formidable ecologist and founder of the Green Belt movement, she went on to win the Nobel Peace Prize in 2004 for her work on ecology, democracy, and women's rights. Like so many environmental activists and politicians, the determination and strength that underlay Wangari Maathai's activism was nurtured in a childhood spent exploring and observing nature. Here's her daughter.
She grew up surrounded by nature, surrounded by the beauty of nature. She grew up in Nyeri, in the highlands of Kenya, which she considered to be the most beautiful part of this world. She described in such vivid terms her encounter with tadpoles, rapids around rocks, and she would spend hours and forget that she had been sent to fetch water, and she would spend time playing with the environment. I think that had a lot to do with it. I also remember her describing her mother being a farmer. Her mother grew all the food that they ate, and she had a small piece of land within hers where she asked my mother to grow her crops. And my mother enjoyed so much her interaction with the soil.
After attending university in the United States, she came back to Kenya and was newly awakened to the environmental degradation happening all around her. She saw that deforestation was devastating the environment. Good arable land was eroding, streams were polluted or drying up, and women were having to go further and further to get firewood. In 1977, she founded the Green Belt Movement, which sought to empower women, create change in the community, and reduce environmental degradation through planting trees. Although labelled as subversive by the government of Kenya at the time, the project has gone on to see amazing success in many parts of Central Africa. As of today, the Green Belt Movement is responsible for the planting of 51 million trees in Kenya and empowering over 900,000 women. Planting trees does more than restore forest. The trees also provided a source of income for women for timber and allowed them to volunteer with the Green Belt Movement, giving them invaluable skills and knowledge in forestry, ecology, and conservation. Trees hold nutrients in the soil, and, in the event of rainfall, also hold water in the soil and prevent flooding. All floods are caused because the rain cannot soak into the soil fast enough. Instead, it runs rapidly over the surface of the land. With extreme weather and flooding becoming more frequent, mitigating the effects of flooding is a lesson we urgently need to learn. Just like in our episode when we talk about how megafires are caused not only by environmental factors, but also by human factors such as how we are now managing forests, floods are not only caused by rainfall, but also by the changes that we have made to our environment in recent times, such as deforestation. The impact of these natural disasters greatly depends on how prepared we are for them. As well as focusing on climate change as a broader issue, we need to be thinking now of practical ways to make our rural and urban areas more connected to nature and more resilient to natural disasters. Wangari Maathai highlighted that environmental degradation and damage is felt sooner and harder by women, and also that they're a huge part of the solution. According to a 2008 study drawn from 141 countries over 21 years, more women die during environmental disasters than men. The 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami killed four times as many women as men. In some cases, women had stayed behind to search for children and relatives. In others, women had never learned to swim. During the 1995 Kobe earthquake in Japan, 1.5 times as many women as men lost their lives because many elderly single women lived in poor residential areas that were more heavily damaged. This is linked to women being poorer across the world as well, as the poorer you are, the less able you are to protect yourself against natural disasters and the fewer tools you have at your disposal to recover from them. Similarly, people of colour, as we discussed in a previous episode, are more likely to face the impact of environmental disasters and to receive less help afterwards. The movement went on to fight against land grabbing and the rapid rate of deforestation that is encroaching upon many African countries bordering on the Sahel, leaving them vulnerable to desertification and degradation. Looking at Wangari Maathai's life highlights one truth that environmental defenders around the world soon learn, that protecting the environment is always political. She highlighted the necessity of good governance to protecting the environment. Trying to protect the Kenyan wildlife and natural areas put her in conflict with the post-independence government, whom she criticized for inheriting the same logic of environmental damage as its colonial predecessor.
It is very important for governments, for those who are in charge of our politics and our economics, to appreciate that we needed to have political and economic systems that protect the environment, because a clean and healthy environment ensures that we too would be healthy. If we do not manage our resources in a responsible way, in an accountable way, if we do not share these resources in a more equitable and just ways, sooner or later, we get ourselves into conflict with those who have been marginalized or excluded or deliberately made so poor that they begin to destroy the very environment that we all rely on. And therefore, it's very important to see the linkage between the way we manage our resources, the way we govern ourselves, and the way we link that with the possibility of living in peace or in conflict with each other and our neighbors.
In the 1990s, along with other environmental groups, she opposed the construction of housing and skyscrapers in Karura Forest, a forest within Nairobi and its only park. Planting trees nearby in protest, she was beaten to unconsciousness by security guards, which led to international condemnation by figures such as the then Secretary General of the UN, Kofi Annan. The plans were shelved, and Karura Forest is now a protected local recreation and conservation area, teeming with bush babies, monkeys, bushbuck antelopes, porcupines, thick-dicks, and fruit bats. After receiving the Nobel Peace Prize in 2004, Wangari Maathai travelled the world spreading her ideas, until ovarian cancer led to her death in 2011. Maathai's Greenbelt movement was an inspiring example of connecting the dots between environmental protection, democracy, and women's rights. Struggles that are more interlinked than we realise. She is a shining example of someone getting active and doing something. Something that started as a few trees being planted, while the rest of the world was just waking up to the scale of the problem. Wangari Maathai's work taught us so much. That women's rights are deeply connected to environmental rights in terms of impact and in terms of solutions. That ecological protection requires democratic space. That solutions to our environmental degradation does not come from institutions or experts at the top, but from ordinary people who have the tools and knowledge to repair our planet. That sustainability and development are not contradictory. That ecological protection requires political engagement. That just planting one tree can start a movement that will have ripples around the world. We'll leave you with an extract from her acceptance speech in 2004 after she won the Nobel Peace Prize. Happy International Women's Day.
As the first African woman to receive this prize, I accept it on behalf of the people of Kenya and Africa, and indeed the whole world. Tree planting became a natural choice to address some of the initial basic needs identified by women. Also, tree planting is simple, attainable, and guarantees quick, successful results within a reasonable amount of time. These are all important to sustain interest and commitment. So together we planted over 30 million trees that provide fuel, food, shelter, and income to support the children's and education and household needs. The activity also creates employment and improves soils and watersheds. Through their involvement, women gain some degree of power over their lives, especially their social and economic position and relevance in the family. This work continues. Initially, the work was difficult because historically our people have been persuaded to believe that because they are poor,
They lack not only capital, but also knowledge and skills to address their challenges. Instead, they are conditioned to believe that their solutions to their problems must come from outside. Although initially the Green Belt Movement tree planting activities did not address issues of democracy and peace per se, it soon became clear that governance of the environment was impossible without democratic space. Therefore, the tree eventually became a symbol for the democratic struggle. Citizens were mobilized to challenge widespread abuses of power, corruption, and environmental mismanagement. In Nairobi's Uhuru Park, at Freedom Corner, and in many parts of the country, trees of peace were planted to demand the release of prisoners of conscience and a peaceful transition to democracy. As we progressively understood the causes of environmental degradation, we saw the need for good governance. Indeed, the state of any country's environment is a reflection of the kind of governance in place. And without good governance, there can be no peace. Many countries which have poor governance systems are also likely to have conflicts and poor laws protecting the environment. In the year 2002, the courage, resilience, patience, and commitment of members of the Green Belt Movement, other civil society organizations, and the Kenyan public culminated in the peaceful transition to a democracy government and laid the foundation for a more stable society. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, it is 30 years since we started this work. Activities that devastate the environment and societies continue unabated. Today, we are faced with a challenge that calls for a shift in our thinking so that humanity stops threatening its life support system. We are called to assist the earth to heal her wounds and in the process, heal our own. Indeed, to embrace the whole creation in all its diversity, beauty, and wonder. This will happen if we see the need to revive our sense of belonging to a larger family of life with which we have shared our evolutionary process.
All right, folks, that's our show. You can follow us on Twitter at Big Green Paw Pod. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the show so you can hear it every 2 weeks. You can find us on any podcast platform.
If you're subscribed already, please do leave us a rating or review. It helps people find the show. And lastly, if you want to give us feedback, email us at biggreenpoliticspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much and see you in 2 weeks.